Welcome to the Fabulous at 50 podcast, where we are changing the aging narrative. I'm your host, Joanne Newaduck, and I'm thrilled to bring you stories that matter and celebrate your place in the world. As an advocate for lifelong learning, health, and women's empowerment, I believe it's never too late to live the life you've always imagined. Through lively and informative interviews with inspiring guests, we'll explore a wide range of topics relevant to our global sisterhood of vibrant, inquiring women just like you. Join me for today's episode and let's start changing the aging narrative together. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. I have an absolute powerhouse, very interesting woman on visiting us from Iceland, calling in from Iceland to Calgary. And I've been quite fascinated with her story. So I'm thrilled when we connected and said, let's do this interview. So Sigrun is on a mission to accelerate gender equality through female entrepreneurship. She is an award-winning business coach, international speaker, best-selling author, and host of the highly rated Sigrun Show podcast. So she's used to being on the other side. So I'm thrilled that I'm going to be the one doing the interviewing and we get to hear a little bit more about her story. She's been called the leading business mentor for online entrepreneurs in Europe. Originally from Iceland, she has spent half her life outside of her own country, studying and working in Germany, United Kingdom, and Switzerland. And we are absolutely thrilled that she's joining us here in Canada for today's interview. So welcome, Sigrun.
Thank you for having me, Joanne. I'm excited to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. I know we have probably, I actually didn't look up the time change, but is it the afternoon for you already?
Yeah, it's in the afternoon. You know, I thought this a little bit closer to Canada than Switzerland. So I'm always happy when I do interviews with, US or Canada, and I'm based in Switzerland. That gives me 1 or 2 hours.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, everyone that's interested, please go and read her full bio. It's very fascinating. And one of the things I just want to pull out of that right away is you weren't always in business necessarily, and you have kind of an interesting story to getting into business and then ultimately helping women. But you did a really big gutsy move at one point in time, like I'm going to just make this call and go for it. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, when I was a small girl, I actually wanted to be an architect, and I followed my path and became I studied architecture and I'm a licensed architect, but I've never worked as such.
Really?
Not after graduation, only during, you know, a summer job or a holiday job. And what happened was that I realized that this was not the thing. Like, studying was fantastic. I loved the mixture of art and science. It was really like my creativity, but also my math brain. I loved the combination of the two. But then I started to work in my holidays in architecture offices, and it was not as dreamy as I thought it would be. Of things, and I guess that's any job, but I guess as a young woman in her 20s, I had expected something more exciting to happen. And it was too much of meetings, too much compromises, very little design. I think it's like 1% design. And if you're not the lead designer of the architecture office, if you are just an employee or an assistant, you get to do very little design. And I was like, oh, this is not my future. And I also there was a little voice, and I don't know if that voice is true or if this was just the negative lizard brain in my head. I did not see myself become one of the big architectural stars. Mm. And that could be a limiting belief, but I guess I didn't have the self-confidence to truly believe in that I could really make it and have my own office and win competitions and actually do the work that I thought I would do when I started to study. So I moved over to computer science. It was a time where the internet was taking off, and that felt like a very exciting field.
And it was a whole new frontier for everyone.
You know, I forgot every time how you would send an email, because we had Unix machines at the university and I did not have a computer at home. And you had to click, I think, Control K and X to send off an email. And a week later, I want to send the next email and I had forgotten what keys to use. Luckily, there was a little guide next to the computer to teach you how to do it. But it was a very exciting time. And quickly, I was doing 3D, 3D designs, and I was doing my own website. And they had a course that was on doing virtual reality. I dove into that, and from architectural perspective, that was very exciting. And that was my entrance into computer science. And then I decided to move back. I was studying to Germany. I decided to move back to Iceland. And I got a job in a computer company, like in a software company, developing. This is before Google Maps. They were creating maps in Flash, you know, with Flash technology from Adobe. And we were creating maps for London and Paris and who knows what for Lufthansa. So that was quite an exciting job, even though I was an architect. That was my degree. Mm-hmm. So I started studying computer science on the side.
But it sounds like because your brain works that way and there's that creativity, seems like
I was creating both.
Yeah.
And the creativity part. So computer science is just as creative if you pick the right project. And
absolutely,
overseeing this project of the maps was very exciting. We created websites with these wonderful maps, but then I lost my job because this was just after 2000, and there was the 2000 bubble where a lot of companies overinvested and they were just burning money. And I actually, this was fascinating. I'm just a regular project manager in a software company, but I start to ask myself the question, how do they make money? And I'm like, I'm not a business person. Why am I asking this question? But it just looked so off to me how expensive our offices were and expensive chairs and computers and so many people being hired all the time. And I think my biggest shock was when they hired a programmer. He was not Icelandic. He was a foreigner and, was fine. I was just speaking to him English and trying to figure out how he could help me with my project. And I figured out that his knowledge of programming was less than mine.
Ooh.
And that was like, they just hired this guy and this guy knows less than me. There is something wrong. And this was then I started to say something to my, superiors. Like I asked questions. I became this uncomfortable woman that
absolutely. Well, it was very male dominated then. And, probably still, but you were willing to speak up.
Yeah. It ended up me being fired, but I wasn't the only one. It was basically they had, gotten a lot of investment, but they were just wasting the money and not having a return. And a lot of companies went belly up around that time frame all over the world. It was not just Iceland, but it was a wake-up call. And I was fortunate enough, there was a course going on, especially for women. Unfortunately, it's not running today, but maybe it inspired me to do what I do today, is that they had a special course at the University of Reykjavik for women who want to learn how to create a business plan. It was supported by a bank and Deloitte. So you paid, 1/4 of the actual cost of the course. The rest was sponsorships because they wanted to empower women to learn how to create a business plan for a potential business idea. And this was a blessing. When I lost my job, I get into this program and it started off something, but then I was too scared to start a business. I was too scared. So I got another job in a software company and I was there for 1 year and I loved this little company, only 15 people, much smaller than the previous one. And very quickly, I was taking care of all the clients, going to all the meetings, selling the software, even though I had never seen the software before. So I found a new talent. I didn't realize I could sell. But I think consulting, selling, when you really believe in a product, anyone can do that. And then one day, I get a note from the company. I took a day off. The company was sold. And I got this crazy idea.
It was sold on the day you took a day off, and on that day it got sold.
No, actually, it was sold before. So it was sold. Okay. It was sold. We hear it in the news that the company has been sold. Nobody talks to us. A couple of days later, or I don't know, maybe 2-3 weeks later, I take one day off because I'm studying for a computer exam, the thing that I'm doing on the side. And then the owners come and visit the company on that exact day when I'm there. But in the meantime, between the company being sold and them visiting the company, I start to get this crazy idea that I could become the next CEO. And I don't know where I get the idea from. But I my interest in business had obviously increased just in like in the last 24 months. I had done this course. I was now selling a software. I was kind of, my understanding of business was suddenly kind of, I was interested. And I saw, like, it's not so complicated to run a business. It's common sense. You have to earn more and spend less, and you have to take care of
that. I think that bears repeating for most people in business. Spend less, earn more, or at least earn more than what you spend. That is the key.
Products, you know, to your best ability, you have to provide good customer service, take good care of your customers. And I felt I could do these things, but I had no clue. I had no business education, no business experience. But this idea wouldn't let me alone. And so on the day where I took the day off and was supposed to study, I get a phone call that the owners are at the offices. And, you know, it would have been better for me to be there to say hi if I'm interested in this job. This is probably, like, beyond starting my business, I think this was the starting of it all, is I picked up the phone. And I made a few phone calls to figure out the mobile phone number of the new owners. And it was, first they didn't want to give it to me, but I said, it's urgent and I work in this company and da 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 da. Half an hour later, I'm sitting in a coffee shop with the owner of the business and his lawyer. And they're asking me thousands of questions that I cannot answer. But to make a long story short, I got the job.
That's amazing.
I got the job. And I think the fact that I did this, I picked up the phone because I realized if I don't call today, if I don't talk to these guys today, this window of opportunity is gone. I didn't even know if I had a chance. And they loved my gutsy move.
They I have a friend. I don't know if you know this word. I have a friend that likes to use gumption.
The boldness of asking for the job without having all the, you know, being able to tick all the boxes. And that's the problem we women unfortunately have. We don't apply for a job, or we don't go after a client if we feel that we cannot tick off all the boxes and we are 150% capable of doing this project or working with this client or getting this job. But in this case, I did apply for a job where I did not tick all the boxes and I got it. And it's that I've done. And I thank myself every day, because I think I wouldn't be doing what I do today if I hadn't done that first.
I agree. So let's segue into, this is a really good segue into, so you've done that, you were working in business, and really the next move was just as gutsy because you were getting a little bit older, where people think you want to just keep that job security, you know, you're going to be, I don't know, like aged out in corporations. Like, I know a lot of women that start going, oh, I'm just being looked over for advancement. But you took another bold move, and it's led you to what you're doing now. Just, you know, share briefly on that, because I know I have a few other questions I want to ask you.
So I worked almost 10 years in small IT software companies. The first 5 years for the same owner, was a wonderful mentor to me. And then I get the wrong owners, you know, the company sold. And so I find myself in London. I'm doing then an MBA because I was like, now I need to study business. So I do my fourth master's degree. But in London, I meet my husband. And he's from Switzerland, British Swiss. And I'm in between jobs, and I'm 40. What was I? Oh, it's 2008. So no, I was not 40. So maybe 37. But I thought to myself, I gotta try it out. Is this the one and only? And it was so unlike me, being a business person, being so much for gender equality. Women shouldn't be giving up everything for men. And I decided to move from Iceland to Switzerland to check if this was the man for me.
Amazing. Oh, I love that.
And then I was in Switzerland, and
it
then
obviously it worked out. I'm assuming it worked out.
Yeah, happily married, still together today. All went that well. But it took a while to get a job, because when you move from one country to another, nobody cares who you are and all your credentials, even if you have some accolades and all that stuff. They don't really care. So it took me a while, and I got a job in a small company. But the thing is, I was like a project manager in a medical technology company. I was not the CEO. I was not in charge. And it was long
hours.
That'd
be a hard step.
Yeah, it was like that, stepping down, definitely. But the salary was good, and I felt this could be a good stepping stone. So I looked at it as a stepping stone. I was not too worried. First, it was just important to have a job. But because due to the long working hours and me not having to see clients or taking care of team members, I was just sitting at my desk all day. And I started to get sick, and I felt pain in my neck, shoulder, pinching ear pain, headaches, and I didn't connect it to the job right away. So right. I would say, well, I'm going on summer holiday for 3 weeks. Maybe this is just gone when I come back, and it got worse. And some of the headaches was then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So it was starting to get quite obvious that as soon as I started to work, the headaches came. And one day I couldn't work, and I was unable to work for 7 months. It was a very hard time for someone who is like a, what do you call it? Like an A person, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Go, go, go.
Yeah. Ambitious, motivated, driven. Love working. I'm probably more of a workaholic than not. And not being able to work for 7 months was quite tough. And I realized I had to reassess my life. And I don't wish it on anyone that they have this, but for me, it was kind of a blessing in disguise to say, do I really want to work for someone else? Do I maybe want to work for myself? Do I find the courage now to start my own thing, which I didn't have, what was it like almost 10 years earlier when I did that business course, when I didn't have the guts to do it. And I felt I didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. That was basically my conclusion. I did get a job after I started to recover, but I was there for 12 months. It was pretty much written in the stars.
A stepping stone.
Yeah. It was a stepping stone. It was just like, oh, it was a home office job. So that was also kind of like getting used to working from home. And I said, this is it. And I did a startup course with like a local government type of thing to learn the local regulations. And I founded my company without having clients. And there I was. This has to work. And because it's not like one incident, like that phone call that I talked about earlier, it feels different because it's a long period of taking the decision. But it became clear and clearer that I do not have another choice, like for my health. Also, living in Switzerland, I was missing my parents and my family in Iceland. And you get 20 days holidays in Switzerland if you work for someone. And I'm like, so 20 days a year, I can see my family in Iceland? Like, we didn't have home office concept back then. That was 10 years ago.
Right.
It would be more normal to split your time between two countries and have a full-time job. But to me, the only option to take care of my health and potentially live in two countries, which would be an absolute dream, was to have my own business. So I decided my lifestyle first. I had no clue what I was going to do.
Yeah. And then brought that in. And so now what you've been doing, so you're still going back and forth living in two countries. Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
So you get the time with your family, but you also get that excitement. Does your husband come with you each time, or does he have to stay in Switzerland for his job?
Well, he had a pretty senior job at one of the large worldwide IT companies. which was comforting when I was starting my business, because I was, he could support me in the beginning, but I was very, I was like, I'm going to make this within, 6 months or 12 months, that I don't want to be supported by man. I want to do this on my own.
Yes.
I was in year three in my business, and I had crossed the $200,000 mark in revenue. I was going for the $300,000, and my husband tells me, I think I'm going to lose my job. They're doing some restructurings. And I'm like, no, you've been there 10 years. I can't believe they let you go. I think I'm the next. It's just made sense.
I've had that feeling.
I've survived 15 restructurings. The next one, that's going to hit me. And I'm like, no. Yeah, but you're making money and you can, provide for us. And I'm like, what? He was right. He lost his job. He got a good package. I think he got a salary for 9 months or so. So there was some time to adjust to this. But since then, he's not gone back to work. So basically, I retired my husband and he works part-time in my business. And part-time, he enjoys life and play goals and does some investments.
That's awesome. I mean, I love how far you've come. And really, I think younger women might be looking at it going, what's the big deal? But we come from, you're a little bit more at the tail end where it was very, very male dominated. And the fact that you just kept pushing and going, no, I'm just going for it, to say, I'm going to become a business coach. Now, you focus on, your clients are females, right?
Yes.
And are your clients, because I want the listener to really get that you're working with women that a lot of them might be like you, where they had a different career and later in life, because the focus of our show often is changing the aging narrative. And the aging narrative was you get your job, you do your job, you retire from that job and you kind of go on and you're retired. But that's changing so much now. People sometimes leave that job earlier or even if they go, right to retirement, afterwards, they're like, well, I still have decades of life left in me, and they're getting into entrepreneurship. So what is it that you're doing? Does someone come to you already with a job and you're helping them upscale it? Or do people come to you and just go, I'm starting fresh, help me out? I'm just curious.
I think it's 50-50. I actually did a test in our recent campaign. I asked right at the start, do you already have a business or do you not have a business? So it was 50-50.
And the
trend, when I started off, I felt my clients were 30 plus, maybe 40 plus, my age, and they're growing with me. I get more and more older women. I would say some of the clients, they have a wake up call when they have the kids. That's women used to be in the 30s, but we know that's also now 40s. They especially have a wake up call with a second child. First child, that's okay. But second child, they realize, do they really want to go back and to a job that maybe they have to fly out on a Sunday for a meeting on Monday and they don't want to do that anymore?
Yeah.
But I would say more and more of the women that I work with today is they just also have another wake up call. It's not related to the children necessarily, but more is this what I want to do? Is this my life? Do I maybe want to have more freedom? The word freedom and flexibility comes up a lot more for women than men. Men are more money driven, and women are thinking about lifestyle. And it's a bit like myself. I was no longer after my sickness, I was no longer I want to be CEO of a 100 people company or a 200 people company, 500. I'm my health. Seeing my parents, are 8. I want to be there for them. So it changes. And I don't know how old we need to be, 40 plus, 50 plus, but it comes a time where I don't want this life. I want a different life. And maybe I can have that different life still with the same income, but more flexibility because, entrepreneurship, there are so many options. And talking about
although I have to laugh just because, you always hear the joke, basically, when you become an entrepreneur, you just work for an insane boss because you're working for yourself.
That is true. We have to be careful because that's a tough boss. We are toughest on ourselves. And I have to be extra careful with my health issue not to go overboard because I love my job so much. I could sit at my computer all day long and come up with new products or write another blog post or email, whatever, but I have to be careful. So I do have my husband helping me there. He takes me away from the computer. And
that's good.
Go for a daily walk or watch a TV show or go out for dinner or something. So it's good to
have the same thing. My husband's a teacher, semi-retired, so working at substitute. And when he's off, it's March break right now. And I go, I know you take the dog for a walk, but you need to take me for a walk. You need to walk, not sneak out. Oh, she's working. Go, it's time for our walk. Because you need that fresh air, right? Like that to get out there. So a couple questions. You did mention, and I know we said in your bio about, you know, kind of award-winning books and stuff. You have a book out right now, and I understand you have a gift. So anyone listening, please go and claim your gift. Do you want to just share what that is?
Yeah. So I wanted to share like what these women do, like not just like where they come from or why they start their business.
Okay.
I have been, you know, I've been doing this now for 10 years, but 2018, I realized I needed to change the way I teach. I had created like this 12-month business program. I want to teach women everything in online business, and they come to me and it's like an MBA. But they were not doing the work. You know, they get all excited in the beginning and then like, not on my watch. So I created more like a bootcamp. You know, I tell people what to do this week and this week and this week, and they have to fill out a form and submit a form that they've done it. And so it's kind of like really school. I call it Kickstart. And I created 2018, and now we have 3,500 or 4,000 women have gone through the program, and they create a course, because I think what is so helpful when you're starting out in online business, if online business is your thing, is to create something tangible. You know, yes, you need to write a blog post and maybe build your email list and all that stuff, but creating a course feels very, very, very tangible. So
it
focus on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I found out I did not know this. This is interesting. I was in business many years, and it was through this course creation program that I realized how many different types of courses these women are creating. Sewing, crocheting, drawing, sketching, lots of courses, singing. And these are women who maybe are an expert in it, and then start to kind of expand with courses. Or I have an accountant that has never learned how to be a seamstress, but has now thousands of clients teaching sewing courses. So they take their passion and turn it into a profitable business. Then there are others who have experienced something. Like, let's say you go through a harsh divorce and you want to help other women have it a little bit easier or know where to find resources. Then you help them with that. So taking your own experience, you could say it has turned into a passion. So again, it's a passion related one, but you've taken your experience. And yes, there are women who study nutrition and then they teach nutrition, but I must say that is one third maybe. So many rediscovered themselves, you know, taking their life experiences and turned that into something profitable. So I'm saying that the world is your oyster. Like, you do not have to take the thing that you learned or studied or what you did at work. You can start with something brand new. And then women say, but I'm not an expert. I'm like, if you're two steps ahead of your clients, then you are for them an expert. And you do not, in most cases, I'm not talking about therapy or something sensitive like psychology. In most cases, you need nobody's permission to teach what you want to teach or help anyone.
Yeah. And people, what I've known in business too, is it's so easy to go into, well, there's other people teaching that. And I go, well, when you walk into a mall, is there only one clothing store? Like, people are drawn to different styles. So there might be 10, I don't know, watercolor painting, you know, people that you see online. Go to the one that you feel drawn to. There's like billions of people in this world. So I love that you're doing that. So you would, in this boot camp, you step-by-step teach them to do the online course.
Yeah.
And are you doing this live, or is now this an online course that teaches them an online course? I'm kind of curious because that's often the way it goes.
Yeah, well, we probably have so much support. I don't know any other online course that has so much support. The modules are pre-recorded. Like my part is done. Actually, this year I'm redoing all my programs due to AI and all the changes we have in the world. I do need to update my programs from time to time, and then I record them again. But they get access on a Monday morning to my lessons that I've recorded the day before. In this case, next year, I hope I don't have to always record my program every year. So typically, you can have it be for a couple of years. But then I have coaches and mentors. I have 15 mentors in the program. And so people get all their questions answered. We have about 5 calls a week. People can attend at any time a call to get support.
That's a lot of support.
Really, to have everyone finish. We have a 90% completion rate.
And that is pretty fantastic. That is really high. I've done a lot of different courses and I can attest that's high. And is this taught in English?
Yes.
Or is there different languages?
And the book that you mentioned before, that's why I wanted to explain all of this, is that I wrote the book. The book is the course, basically.
Okay.
Because after 5 years of running this course, I was like, more people need to know this method. And you can try to do it on your own. Not recommended, but you can try it. But it's not a secret. I want to really get it out. That this is what I do, or this is how my clients have achieved 6 and 7 figures. They created a course. They learned how to not sell their time; they sell value. And we've had now thousands of women go through the program. 90% completion rate still today, and so many amazing stories. That I basically collected stories for the book. So maybe 1/3 of the book is just success stories of women who have taken their passion and turned it into a profit. And then the method itself is laid out. And it's typically a paid book on Amazon and on my website. But when I'm on a guest on a podcast, I'm happy to give it away.
Love that. Absolutely. It's like, please go into the show notes and download this book because, you know, it's like picking up a book for yoga or something. You can learn, you can do it on your own. And then if you're drawn to something, they can reach out to you to see about the course. How long is the course? I'm curious now.
When I did it the first time, I had it 8 weeks, but now we've gone on to 12 weeks. It has a lot to do with that. It takes time to promote a course. Like they create the course in the program. It's not that I teach something and then you have to do it afterwards. You do everything during the program. Therefore, it takes time to market a program, a course.
Right.
So,
and you teach them how to market it, because that's the other thing that so many women and I run into. They're like, I have this great idea or have this product, but they're like, how does anyone? They don't understand the marketing side because it's constantly changing. But I would know that with your team, you're keeping up with what are the new trends.
Yeah. And so,
fantastic.
We're currently running the program and I'm just like, it's such a joy. Like, yes, when you're a business coach, you help people make money or women make money. But what gives me the most joy is to see women have more self-confidence.
Yes. Yes. I don't know if anyone's told you this, but when you get into sharing about your passion, you literally start to glow, which is beautiful, right? It's so beautiful. I appreciate you so much and what you're doing for women all around the world. And so just to end off, because I'm sure there's some women listening now that are going, oh, this sounds good. So I'm curious now, do you have certain intakes for this course and it runs for 12 weeks? Or is it you can join at any time and when you're in there, you just go for those 12 weeks? Like, or do you have certain intakes?
Because it's so intense to run, as I said, I have myself and I have a coach and I have 15 people, mentors, women who have done the course and they come back. Like, you know, And they used to volunteer, but now I pay them. But I have now women with me, mentors for 3 years. They have their own business. They are busy. They have children and families. But they come back and teach the course with me because they love it so much.
I love it.
And because of all this massive support, we can only offer this program once a year.
Okay. And so when's your intake? If somebody was saying now, I want to sign up, when would be your next intake?
We start in January every year, end of January.
Okay.
And then it runs until beginning of April. But then we have other programs for people who are further. So this is Samba Kickstart is the name of this program. Then we have Sales Every Day, where we teach them how to create a sales funnel. Like, how do you automatically sell your online course? We have that starting in April. And then in August, I have another. So I started to create, and this is what everyone should do when they have figured out what they're good at. I realized I'm good at these kind of a bootcamp method. The teaching methods I have is so good. I'm like, what else can I teach women? Okay, once they have the course, they need to know how to sell it. So that's another program. And then I have another program where they learn how to do a marketing campaign. The thing is, if you have a course on your website, no one is going to buy it. No one is going to go there. No.
They're not going to see it.
It's not going to see it.
It's like a book in the library just sitting there. No one even knows to take it out.
There's two things you need to sell a course. First of all, you need leads. So that's why I created a program that helps people create a freebie so they can build their email. Because you need interested people that are interested in your topic. And then you can create a marketing campaign, which we call a launch. And that's another program. So I've created it like a whole year for those who want to stay with me that long. And I decided to make it all these, 10 or 12 week program, because after 3 months, people get a little bit tired. I noticed a lot of women, especially if this is not their full-time job, they're kind of like, oh, I need to take a break. I'm like, okay, then I do sprints. They're 10 or 12 week sprints, and you come back to me for the next one.
Yeah, that is such a good way of teaching and for people, because from my experience, women that are doing this, it's not like they have nothing and then they're taking this. They're doing their full-time job. They're doing this. And then at some point in time, it flips where they can let go of the other job, because you need a source of income coming in. And there's a lot of moving parts. So it is fantastic that you are able to do this. And as I said, I can just see that you start to glow. You're so excited and passionate about it. We will have everything in the show notes for people to log into. But before we sign off, if you have like two or three pearls of wisdom or your advice for women to, I've heard, things you've said, if you can reiterate it, but you just want to leave off on, this is Sigrun's sort of your guiding light for how you've lived your life, or what you're wanting women to really know, your lessons in life. Yeah.
Well, I took a couple of decisions when I was 16 years old, and they have been my guiding light.
Oh, I love that.
In Iceland, we had the first female president in 1980. She was 16 years a female president. And when I was 16, I was doing a sewing course, or I was learning how to do a pattern. And the women there, like, oh, I didn't do this because I got married. Oh, I didn't do this because I got kids or skills or time or money, all the excuses. And I was 16 years old and I decided I will always follow my dreams. Mm-mm. The second one, I will never have a man stop me. And third, I will do something about gender equality.
I love that. And you are. Yeah. And I think there's a fourth. You said it earlier at one point to me, is it's never too late. That I'll always follow my dreams. I just want to make sure that somebody listening is not like, oh, it's too late for my dreams. It's really never too late. If you're still breathing, go for it. Yeah.
I have women in programs that are over 70.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation today, and I'm so grateful that you were able to be on today and share your passion. And I imagine that 10 years from now, you're just, it must be very rewarding to kind of almost look at your tally and go, this many women served, or this many women succeeding in life. Like, that, what a beautiful payment to give yourself.
It's a true blessing. I feel grateful every single day. And it also is like nice when you get a message over Messenger for someone who has this realization that did maybe a program with me in 2020, and now they are crossing the $1 million in revenue, and they're like, all thanks to you, Sigrun. And I'm like,
That's fantastic. And really, within a year or less, they could really have accomplished this. So that is huge. That is huge. Well, take care. And I would love to have you back on, because I know from my notes here that there's so many different other little twists and turns that we could talk about. But for today, thank you for being on.
Thank you for having me.
And take care, everyone. Make sure you go check out the show notes, and certainly grab a copy of Sigrun's book. Take care.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. But before you leave, I'm curious, what pearl of wisdom are you taking away from today's episode? I do hope it held some inspiration or information for you to live your best life. If you are not yet part of our sisterhood, I invite you to join our community by visiting our website, fabulousat50.com, and you'll receive a free copy of our ebook, Make Mind Fabulous, 21 Ways to Energize Your Life. It is packed with loads of tips and tricks. Plus, if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review to let us know what you think. Remember, keep choosing fabulous. It's never too late to live the life you deserve. Catch you on the next episode.